Father, do we? Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love and mercy. Thank you for your kindness and goodness you have demonstrated toward us. Thank you, Lord, for impossible things you have
muted. The recording has started. The host has muted the conference. This line cannot be unmuted.
For us to overcome sin and weaknesses. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the entrance of your word that has liberated us, the entrance of your word into our hearts and minds and souls and spirits that have liberated us and elevated us in to grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for great things you have exposed to us in your word through the teachings we do in this place. Thank you, Father. Thank you for how you put the enemy to shame concerning our lives. Despite all that the enemy is doing day and night to bring us down, to make us fail, to make us fall, you have not allowed the enemies to succeed over us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for how you are helping our personal relationship with you to get stronger. Thank you for making us to enjoy your presence and power and glory. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, I ask that as we would be having another Bible study class in your presence, please, let everyone that will be listening be blessed from your throne in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I ask that you touch everyone, open the eyes of everyone, revive everyone, and help everyone to know your truths, to discover your ways, even through these teachings. Thank you, faithful Lord, for I know you will do more than I have asked. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence, and I believe He will bless you with understanding and light and life and wisdom right here, right now, in Jesus' name. So we are going to continue from where we stopped last Tuesday. Remember that we have been looking at the broad topic or the theme that says building up a strong discerning spirit, or building a strong discerning spirit. And we stopped at point number 3. Under part 2, point number 3 under part 2 of this teaching. Yeah, and I remember that I said I will be telling you the difference between the soul of a man and the mind of a man. Yeah, I will start from there. Then we go to point number 4 in this part 2. Yeah. So let us look at the difference between your soul and your mind. Some people kind of think it's the same, but it's not the same. Those two are not the same. Though they are connected, but there's a difference between them. Yeah. So let me read a verse in the scripture that clearly separates the soul from the mind. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Matthew 22:37. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Yeah, if the soul and the mind were the same thing, the Bible will not separate them here. So it means there's a difference between the heart and the soul and the mind. Yeah. So, and I am going to be showing you the difference. Yeah. And I'm going to use an example. A very common example. Now, if you have ever met someone who has been sexually addicted before, they will understand this example I want to give right now. As someone who has been addicted to sex or sexual sins, yeah, they might quickly understand the difference between the soul and the mind with this example I want to give right now. Now, those people who have been addicted to sex or sexual sins, at certain point, they would feel a very strong sexual urge inside their body. There is this strong urge to have sex, like they should have sex at that moment. It will be so strong, like they should just have sex with whatever is available. Yeah. And some of them, they try to help themselves through pornography when that urge comes on. And some try to help themselves, help themselves through masturbation. Yeah, when that strong urge comes up in their body. Yeah. Now, at a point, these people that are addicted, especially when they are trying to come out of the addiction, when they see that this is wrong, I should not be doing this thing. And they now want to come out of the practice or the habit. Yeah, usually they sometimes realize that their bodies is wanting to have sex, whereas their mind, I wouldn't say their minds now, whereas deep down in them, they don't want to do it. But their body and mind is seriously thinking about it, seriously wanting to do it. But deep down in them, they don't want to do it, but they just can't control themselves. Yeah, they just can't control the urge. The urge is so strong. I mean, the urge to have sex becomes so strong in their body and mind that they cannot control it, meaning that they can't even stop thinking about it. Neither can they stop the feelings or the urge that is flowing through their bodies. Now, that's an example of how the soul is different from the mind. Yeah, so the mind is inside your body. Your mind is inside your body. And there's a place in the body that the mind is seated in, and that is your brain. Your brain is inside your head. Your brain is inside your skull, the skull of your head. That's where your brain is. So it is, and of course the brain is working together with your spinal cord and all the nerves in your body. Yeah, so it is in your nervous system, or let me use the term that we call it in the medical school, we call it central nervous system, which comprises of your brain, your spinal cord, and the nerves in your body. Yeah, you can go and do more research on that. So your mind is seated inside that central nervous system. That is where you think. Yeah, so your mind is within your body. So your mind is not your soul. Your mind is seated inside your body. Your mind is the home for your feelings and emotions. Yeah, so they are all inside your body. So now you might be asking that, then where is your soul? Yeah, your soul is connected to your body, very strongly connected. Yeah, but your soul is spiritual. Your soul is invisible. Yeah, your soul is spiritual. So your soul is in your spirit, if I can put it like that. Yeah, or maybe I should say your soul is more connected to your spirit. Or maybe I should say is first bonded with your spirit before it's now bonded with your body. Yeah. So, and that is why it can separate from your body. Your soul can separate from your body and still continue to live. Only that it might not live in this earth again. It will only live in the spirit world. Yeah. So to tell you that your soul is a spirit or is spiritual. So your soul is invisible. It's a spirit being. Yeah, invisible being. And it can literally put off your body and continue to live. So that is why we see people, when they have given up the ghost, when they have died, they will see themselves come out of their body. And some of them were sentenced to hellfire. Right inside hell, they could feel the pains, the smell in hell. They could feel all of it. So all their senses were working. Yeah. So if anyone is telling you that once you die in this body, that is the end, don't listen to that kind of person. Because that is not the end. Yeah, in fact, life starts after you drop this body. Yeah. Life does not end when you die here. In fact, it just starts when you die in this world. Life just begins. Yeah. Yeah, you will now find yourself in realms that are eternal, because the realms of the spirit, they're eternal. Except those that God might destroy in the last days. But presently, the realms in the spirit, you can be there forever. Your soul can be there forever, outside of your body. So I'm not going into details on that. But the point is that your soul is different from your mind. Yeah. So now let us talk about how is the soul connected with the mind. Can you be able to know your soul? Yeah, because if you're able to know your soul, then you will know how to save your soul. And you will know how to let God save your soul. Yeah, because there's a part where you have to save your soul, which is by paying attention to the choices you make and the decisions you make. Yeah, and I'm still coming to that. So now, let me talk about how the soul is connected to your mind. Yeah, remember the example I said that it's possible that you feel a urge that is so strong in your mind and your body, and yet you still can feel deep down in you that you don't want to do that thing. Though the urge is so strong, the pull is so strong in your mind and body, but you still could feel deep within you that you don't want to do it. Yeah. So that's one that you can feel deep down. That's one that don't want to do it deep down in the inside of you. That is your soul. Yeah. So your soul is that part of you that tells us why you are thinking what you are thinking. Yeah, that part of you that controls your decisions, your actions, your choices, that is your soul. Yeah. That part of you that determines the choices you make. Yeah. Yeah. That determines why you are thinking what you are thinking in your mind. Yeah, it's not just the part of you that thinks about things. It's the part of you that determines why you think about what you think. Yeah, it's that part of you that determines why you talk the way you talk. why you take the actions you're taking. Yeah, so your soul is that part of you. Yeah, and to know your soul, usually you have to think deep to be able to know your soul. Yeah, I don't want to spend much time on this particular point. Yeah. But do you know that we have some people that up to now, they still don't know what they want in life. They have not been able to sit down and ask themselves, what do I actually want for my life? Where am I going with my life? How do I actually want to live my life? So we have some people that they don't know their soul. They just flow along. Oh, people are doing that, they just join. Someone give an advice, they just follow. So those people, their souls cannot be saved. Because for your soul to be saved, you have to be someone if the English is correct. You have to be someone who have through meditations be able to bring yourself to the place of making deliberate decisions and choices about what you want for your life. How you want to live your life. Yeah, so it is in those moments that you sit down and begin to choose how you want to live your life. That it is in those moments you are either saving your soul or destroying your soul. Yeah, so your soul is going to be saved or destroyed through your choices and decisions. Yeah, but as I've said earlier, we have millions of people who have lost contact with their souls. They don't even know what they want anymore. So they are just living the life that the system of this world is telling them to live. That's the life those people are living. Yeah, this is what my parents say I have to do. Have you ever thought of what do you want to do? This is what my friends are saying I should do. I'm not believing in Jesus because the government of my country, they don't value Christianity. Have you thought of what do you want? Not what the government is telling you to embrace. Have you thought deep down? So, yeah, have you taken a thought deep down in your heart and ask yourself, what do I actually want for my life? This life that I am living in this body, what do I actually want for this life? How do I actually want to live my life? What do I want to live for? Okay, you are making a lot of money. What do I want to do with all this money? Yeah. Where do I intend to be in the next 20 years? Yeah, what should I have achieved? Or what would I have achieved in the next 15 and
20 years or 15 or 20 years. So these are when you begin to think deep on these questions, that is when you are engaging your soul. Because henceforth, after you have made a decision and a choice about your life, henceforth, what you think in your mind and the actions you take begin to line up with your soul. Yeah. And then you'll be able to know how to call yourself to order, how to amend your ways, if you realize that your thoughts and your actions are not connecting with the decisions and choices you have made in your soul. Yeah. So that is how to know your soul. But as I've said earlier, Satan has made the world too busy with distractions and pleasures, such that some people, they don't even know what they want for their lives again. Yeah, even the Bible says that life and death have I placed before you. Choose one. So some people, they don't even know what, they don't know whether they want life. And they don't know whether they want death. So they are just following the wind of the world. They are just following the tide of the wind of this world. So it is where the wind in this world is blowing that they follow. So if the system of the world move them in a direction and say, oh, this is what is in vogue. I don't know if that's what they call it. So they say, oh, this is what is happening now. I need to be a part of this. Now people are dancing like this. People are going to parties. People are singing like this. So let me join the world and sing like that. And then if the world is moving in another direction, they just follow like that. So they themselves, they don't know what they want for their lives. So, yeah, they are just confused. Yeah, so those kind of people, they have not engaged their soul to the point of making permanent choices about how they want to live their lives. Yeah, and of course, we have people that they have thought of life and then they feel like, this is what I want to do, even though that thing they want to do does not line up with the Bible. But at least we know that this one, they have chosen the path of destruction. So we already know that they are going to be destroyed. Yeah, but I hate those that they are neither in the light or in darkness. They have not made any choice. In fact, God hates such kind of people. Yeah, I pray you will not be in that category, in Jesus' name. And I pray that when you'll be making choices and decisions about your life, about how you want to live your life, I pray that you'll make the right decisions that lines up with the mind of God, in Jesus' name. So now let's move to the fourth point under the part two. The fourth point. Yeah. The part two says understanding the negative influence your soul and body have on your spirit. That's what part two says. Now the point number four under this part two says the body and soul have from birth enslaved, yeah, I think that's how to put it. The body and soul are from birth enslaved the spirit under corruption and pollution of darkness. Yeah, I'm going to take it again. The point says that your body and your soul are from your birth, from the day you were born, enslaved your spirit under corruption and pollution of darkness. So from the day you were born, your body and your soul have enslaved your spirit from the day you were born, such that they don't want your spirit man to breathe at all or live at all. That is why many people hardly know their spirits until when they met Jesus, until when Jesus saves them and liberates their spirits. Yeah, until when the power of God save their souls and release their spirits. So many people couldn't know their spirits. And that is why many people fall under the category of atheists. They try to, you know, atheists are people who thinks God does not exist. Yeah. And any man that have been able to know his spirit or a spirit cannot say that God does not exist. Or maybe I should say, any man whose spirit has been released from the bondage of his body and soul cannot say that God does not exist. Yeah, because your spirit by nature testifies God. God's existence. Yeah, because that spirit that is in you came from inside of God. Yeah, so your spirit by nature testifies that God exists. Yeah. Yeah, that is by the way. So my point here is that your spirit man has been caged by your soul and body from the day you were born into this world. And one of the things the gospel of Jesus Christ is to do in your life is to liberate your spirit from the bondage of your body and soul. Yeah, and your spirit cannot be liberated until you have surrendered to Jesus. We know of some people who went to study magic. They went to school of magic and sorcery and witchcraft. Some went to study religions where they teach them how to use their spirits to do all manner of things. Yeah. Those channels or those religions or idol worshiping cannot release the spirit of man from the bondage of the soul and body. Yeah. Though they can give more power to the soul and the body and make the soul and the body control the spirit and use the spirit for evil things. Yeah. So people that are into witchcraft, they are not free. Devil just kind of recruits them as his agents and give them powers that will corrupt their spirits and that will make them to be able to use their spirit for evil things. Yeah, so they are still bound to Satan. They are not free. Yeah, but those of us who have surrendered our lives to Jesus, we are those who are free indeed. Yeah, because our spirit now is reconnected to where it came from, which is to God. And then now we can know God, and then God can begin to use our spirit to carry out his purposes on earth, to carry out his will. Yeah. So you can see the difference now. Yeah. So if there's any religion where they are trying to give more power to yourself, they're telling you that you can have this, you can do this with your spirit, you can by your spirit do this, you know, do something that will benefit the lust in your flesh, the pride in your flesh, then definitely such religion is not saving people, is destroying people. Yeah, but in the kingdom of God, power is not given to self. In the kingdom of God, self is destroyed. But in the kingdom of darkness, power is being given to yourself to be able to practice on righteousness, to be able to practice sin and become an enemy of God. But in God's kingdom, power is taken away from self. Self is destroyed so that God alone is glorified. Yeah, so that is why it is in God's kingdom that people's spirits can be free. In the kingdom of darkness, people's spirits get more enslaved. Yeah, I believe you can see the difference now. Yeah, so as I said earlier, by nature or by birth, your spirit is following your body and soul. Whatever your soul says is what your spirit follows, because your body and soul have captured your spirit. Yeah, and that is why you might not even know your spirit. Yeah, because your spirit is alive and powerful when it has been released by God, when it has been delivered by God. Your spirit man is alive and powerful such that you can feel your spirit. Yeah. You can feel your spirit, and you can even know when your spirit is moving. Yeah. You know, just as some of us, when we sing worship and praises, we can literally see our spirit connecting with heaven while we are singing worship, and we are worshiping God in spirit or praying in spirit. We can literally see our spirit man connecting with heaven, connecting with God. As we can feel it and we can see it. Why? Because our spirit man is real and is active and alive and powerful. Yeah. But we know it because Jesus has set us free. Yeah. After we have repented and surrendered to him, he saved us and reconnect us back to God. That is why we can know it. Yeah. But the people who are not yet saved, who are not yet saved, the people who are in the flesh, the people who are being controlled by the desires in their body, the lust in their souls, they can't know their spirits. Yeah. If they're able to know it, maybe a little, because some of them, they have dreams. Yeah, because through your dreams, you can also be able to feel your spirit, because you get dreams through your spirit. Yeah, you don't get dreams through your soul, but through your spirit. Yeah, but in as much as these people have not yet been saved, they can't actually know their spirits. Yeah, because their spirit is in bondage of their soul and body. I hope you are getting these things I'm saying. I hope it's making sense to you. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, because you must get it right at this point if you will build a strong discerning spirit. You must be able to understand the relationship between your soul and body and your spirit. Yeah. Let us look at some scriptures. In Psalm 51 verse 5. Psalm 51. I want to read from New Living Translation. Psalm 51, verse 5. For I was born a sinner, yet from the moment my mother conceived me. Yeah, this was David talking. He said, for I was born a sinner from the moment my mother conceived me. So what does that mean? It means that from that moment you begin to form your mother's womb, you have inherited the sinful nature. From that moment you begin to grow in your mother's womb, you have inherited the sinful nature, and that sinful nature is buried within your body and your soul. Yeah. So from that moment you have inherited the sinful nature. So that was why David here was making that confession that indeed he was born a sinner, because his bones and blood and organs and tissue, they grew up to love sin and to agree with sin right from his mother's womb. So all parts of his body and soul were fixing together for wickedness right from his mother's womb. Yeah. So from your mother's womb, all parts of you grew up to love sin and wickedness. Grew up to love unrighteousness. So you were born a sinner. Yeah, every one of us was born a sinner. Yeah, so, and you must know that. Yeah, because some people think without salvation that we can have a good man. We can have a righteous man without salvation. I mean, without that man being saved. Some people think we can still have a nice person, a good person. Well, maybe on the outward, on the physical, like in the open, we can have a good guy. I mean, in the physical, like in the public, like when you open your eyes and observe what is going on in the environment, you can be able to say, that young man in that street or living in that building is a nice guy. He looks very nice. Or you can say that young woman is a good woman. She doesn't go around with men. She is just, she has good morals. She has good attitude. Yeah, because you see with your physical eyes. But that is not how God sees. Yeah. And I can tell you from the scripture that without salvation, no man is good. Even if they practice good works, they might be good to people, to other people's eyes, or in the sight of others, they might be good and nice and cool. And what else do we say about people to commend them? They might be generous, kind to people's eyes. But in the eyes of God, they are not. Inasmuch as Christ is missing in them, they are not good. Yeah. And they can never be good. They are not righteous. And they can never be righteous until they surrender to Jesus completely. I hope you get my point. Yeah. Because deep down, inside those people is a great wickedness that you might not know, but is between them and God, a great wickedness. Yeah. So no one can be right without Jesus in them. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says that all our righteousness is like filthy rags. What does that mean? It means a practicing righteousness outside of Jesus is like rags before God. If you think you can produce righteousness by yourself and not through Jesus, that righteousness is rubbish before God. Even if you are generous, even if you have given billions of money to the poor, that righteousness is rubbish before God and heaven. Inasmuch as Christ is missing in your life. I don't know if I get my point. Yeah, so that is the truth. Yeah, you know, I used to be very, of course, I am still a very cool guy, very quiet, very reserved to people's eyes. Yeah. But deep down in me, I know I am very wicked. Yeah, I know, or maybe I should say I knew, yeah, because I'm telling you about my past life. I knew I was very wicked, very dirty, very selfish, very polluted, very corrupt, very bad, very evil. But it was not showing in the public. But I know the kind of person I am inside, and I know when I was saved. But physically, many people felt I don't need salvation because I was like morally good. Yeah. I was very nice. So if you see me in those days, you would think maybe I was born to be a pastor. Yeah, because I just look nice. I do many things right. Outwardly. But inwardly, I was not right. And I know it. Or I knew it. Yeah, so don't be deceived. Or don't even deceive yourself by thinking you are being made perfect by what you do on the outside. Yeah. God judges you from within. I pray that you will follow God to the point of complete deliverance. Especially the deliverance that happens within you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let us continue. In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Yeah. Let me read from New Living Translation. So that you will understand very well. Romans chapter 8, verse 20 to 23. Romans chapter 8, verse 20 to 23. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's cause. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Verse 23. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. Yeah, so there is something wrong with these physical bodies we have right now. Yeah. The latter part of verse 23 says that every one of us, we are waiting for that day when God will give us our full right. So right now we have not the full rights as God's children. So there are still some rights that have not been given to us. Yeah. And one of them is that we have new bodies that are different from this body that is physically here on earth. I mean, this one that you have put on. I mean, the body that you have right now, the one that you see when you look at the mirror, that body, something is very wrong with it. And it must be changed before you will enter into God's kingdom. So there is a new body that has been prepared for you in the kingdom of God. Yeah, but we cannot pick it up now because there is a day God has assigned for us to pick up that body. So to tell you that this earthly body, this physical body, is a great enemy to our spirits. Yeah, and we are groaning according to that verse. Not only the creatures in the earth that are groaning for redemption, even we we believers, we are groaning in this body, that it will be put away, and that we may have that the new bodies God has created for us, that we may have it put up upon us. Yeah. So that groaning is every this groaning that is being mentioned in this scripture, because I'm not reading I didn't read this from one book. I just read this from the same Bible that you have on your phones and in your room. That's where I just read this. Yeah. So the new bodies, or the redemption of your body promised in this verse, is going to happen at the time God has chosen. Yeah. So there are new bodies waiting for us in God's kingdom. And we'll pick it up when the time comes. Yeah. But before that time comes, there is this groaning that is going on every second. There is groaning in you, in me, as believers. Though you might not feel it, but there's a level of spiritual growth we have, and you can literally feel that groaning in you, like you are no longer comfortable with this body, because you will literally feel the restriction in your body stopping the full expression of your spirit. You will literally feel that something is in your body that don't want your spirit man to fully express himself. I don't know if you have grown to that point, but I feel it almost every second that there's something wrong with my body from the day I was born. And I'm not talking about a terminal disease. I'm talking about sinful nature. Yeah. That is what is wrong with our bodies. The sinful nature. And to me, that's the real disease. Yeah. Too deadly. Far deadly. More than cancer. The sinful nature. That's the real disease. Yeah. So, we must not allow the darkness in this body, as it were, from the day we began to form in our mother's wombs, we must not allow that darkness to cage our spirits. Even though we have been saved, because we have surrendered to Jesus, the battle still continues. That's why Apostle Paul used the word groaning. So there's a fighting going on within us, because this body don't line up with our spirits. It's against our spirits. And we want to live the fullness of the life God has given to us. And that life is in our spirits. But this body is not allowed. And not just the body, even the soul don't want us to live the life God has put in our spirits. I don't know if I'm getting this teaching. Yeah, I'm taking it very slow so that you may understand, because this is a matter of life and death. And this is a matter of eternity. Yeah. May the Lord give you understanding as you meditate on these things. Now, let's look at... Okay. There are other things to say from that scripture, but we don't have time. I mean, from Romans chapter 8, verse 20 to 23. There are other things there, but you can meditate on them later. And if you have questions, you can ask on the platform. Let's go to the next scripture. I'm going to read Joshua, the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 7. There's another thing I want to show you about this sinful nature in our body and soul. Joshua chapter 7, verse 24 to 26. Joshua 7:24. I read, then Joshua and all the Israelites took Achan, the silver, the robe, the bar of gold, his sons, daughters, cattle, donkeys, sheep, goats, tents, and everything he had, and they brought them to the valley of Hakor. Then Joshua said to Achan, why have you brought trouble on us? The Lord will now bring trouble on you. And all the Israelites stoned Achan and his family and burned their bodies. They piled a great heap of stones over Achan, which remains to this day. That is why the place has been called the Valley of Trouble, or the Valley of Hakor, ever since. So the Lord was no longer angry. So God was angry because that man Achan stole certain things when the Israelites went to fight an enemy nation. God warned them that when you go to this nation, when you're fighting them, make sure you take nothing from that land. Don't take their gold. Don't take their silver. Yeah, but Achan yielded to his sinful nature and he took gold, silver, clothing against God's instructions, and he took them with him, you know, to the camp of the Israelites. And immediately the anger of God rose. Now, the anger of God was not only against Achan. The anger of God rose against the entire nation. The anger of God rose against the Israelites. Yeah. All of them were found guilty. Yeah. But that is not my focus. My focus is on the judgment on that family. When God revealed that one of them have sinned, and when they were going to judge Achan, look at what they did. They did not only kill Achan, they stoned everyone in his family. His wife, his sons, his daughters, they killed everyone. And it was after they have done that God's anger was lifted. Now, this is what I want to show you from this scripture. I want to show you from here that the sinful nature in your body and soul is generational. How will I put it now? Yeah. It's generational. I think that's the best way to put it. Meaning that your sin will not only affect you, it will affect even your children and children's children. Yeah, these things and mistakes you make now will not only affect you, it will affect your children's children. I don't know if you get the point. So which also means that many of us are not suffering today because of our sins. Many of us are also suffering because our parents and ancestors sinned. So you should note that Achan's children, Achan's sons and daughters did not steal, but the entire family was destroyed. So everyone connected to Achan's blood was destroyed. Yeah. So the same way, every time you sin, you are not only destroying yourself, you are destroying a generation. Yeah. A generation is being destroyed. And that is the truth. Well, you might say, or our pastor, don't forget that we are now in the New Testament. And and now you can't deal stone people to death. Of course. Yeah, you're right. And that is why we have hellfire. Yeah, that is why we have the lake of fire. Yeah, because we no longer stone people to death, but people are dying. And people will die eventually. Yeah. Because they will go to hell. In as much as they continue to yield to the sinful nature. And as you can see, this sinful nature do not only send you and your generation to hell, it will even make them suffer before they go to hell. Suffer in this world. So many of us are suffering because of sins of our ancestors. Now, I was so random. Now, if I want to ask that, if the sinful nature and sin gives a generational effect, then how can anyone be free? Yeah, if you are asking that question, you're asking a very good question. Yeah, the only way to be free from the consequences of both your own sins and the one you inherited from your parents and ancestors, the only way to be free is to kill that sinful nature. Yeah. So once the sinful nature dies, the consequences also die. Yeah. And Jesus has made provision for this sinful nature to never live in our lives as Christians. Yeah. So by faith in what Jesus already have done on the cross of Calvary, we can kill the sinful nature. We can deny the sinful nature. We can deny what it's telling us to do, and we will prevail. So in as much as this nature of sin that every one of us have been born with is dead, then we can be released from the cause and the consequences and the suffering and the hell that goes along with it. Yeah, I believe you understand. Yeah, just as when they killed Achan and all the people in his house, God's anger was lifted. So the same way God's anger will be lifted if we kill the sinful nature. So now Jesus has helped us that we don't have to stone people to death to stop God's anger. So now there is something in us that we can now put to death. What is bringing God's anger? What is making us to sin against God? We can now put that nature to death. And if we can do that, God's anger will be lifted. But if you are not doing that, and then you think, I'm going to fast, I'm going to pray seriously, and I will make it in life, I will move forward, I will make heaven, it's impossible. Yeah, ancestral causes will not leave your life. Even if you fast 500 days until you kill the sinful nature. Yeah, I don't deceive people. You don't kill the sinful nature, you can't be free from ancestral causes and slavery and covenants. Because that is the legal ground they have over your life. So, there's another scripture, but because of time, I'll take it next week. Yeah, there's just one more scripture before the next point. I'll take that one next week. If you have questions, you can ask on the Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for showing us from your scripture how much we stand to lose if we yield to the darkness in our bodies and souls. Thank you also for showing us in your scriptures that there's a way out, and that way out is in Jesus. I ask, O Lord, that you help as many people here who have been deceived to follow the dictates of their bodies and souls. O Lord, deliver such persons right here, right now, in Jesus' name. I pray for you that your eyes will be opened to see how much your spirit man wants to live and continue to live and continue to grow and continue to know God, so that you can give your spirit what he wants in the name of Jesus. I pray that whatsoever you have embraced that is killing your connection with God, may the Lord open your eyes to see them, and may the Lord help you to offload them from your shoulders, from your life, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered, Lord. I pray for you that everything in this world that you have embraced, in as much as they are not the food, they are not what your spirit wants, may the Lord help you to reject those things in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.
Goodbye.